We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
You're at Redemption Church. All right. Welcome to Redemption Church in beautiful Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I serve here as the lead pastor, and I greet everybody in the room. You guys just look great today, and also greet you people online. And let's just face it, people online never look as good as the people that are in live right in front of you. So I'm sure y'all would look spiffier if you were here with us, okay? Y'all ought to come see us one day, online community. We love you. But you guys in here, I mean, goodness, are y'all on the cover of magazines or something? Because you guys just look really good. We're kicking off a new spooky sermon series today. What is that sermon series called?
Killers.
Killers. Say killers. All right, killers. Killer is a person or thing that takes life. Is that simple enough? Killer is a person or thing that takes life. Killers exist. Do you agree?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they do. It is a fact of life that there are things and people that kill. Real quick, I want you in your brain to think of a famous killer. You can probably think of one all too quickly. Isn't that kind of sad about the day and age that we live in? Some of you thought about certain people. They just came up right in your mind, a famous killer. You got that person in your mind? All right, I want to ask you now, what would you do if a killer was after you? What would you do if there was a killer after you right now? What would you do? Would you run? Would you look for a place to hide? How would you try to live when a killer is on the trail chasing you? Jesus alerts us of an enemy who only has one aim. He is going to steal and kill and destroy. Is that true? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Jesus told us that there is an enemy. You've got an enemy, and he's got only one aim in life. He's got one goal. He's got one to-do list, and that is you. He wants to steal and kill and destroy. Who knows what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
All right, I want to tell you that the scariest part of a scary movie is when the audience sees the killer, but the would-be victim in the movie is unaware of the killer. Y'all know those moments? Those are, to me, those are the scariest parts of the movie. Do you agree? It's like you want, there are people that will actually yell in the theater. They just get too excited and they'll go, "Get out of there, girl! That guy's right behind you." I mean, it's really intense. I mean, you want to tell the person, the guy with the hook is coming up behind you. You got to run now. Oh, my goodness. You want to tell, you know, the people that the killer is right there. The scariest part is that they're unaware of the killer. Do you agree?
Yeah.
There is a danger in this world that we are unaware of. Like in our video intro, right? That was a 1996 Super Bowl ad for Bud Ice, all right? And that commercial spoofs a very suspenseful movie. Do you know the name of that movie? Can you name the movie that it's spoofing? When a Stranger Calls, they name that commercial When a Penguin Calls. But When a Stranger Calls, I'm going to just save it for you. The first 10 minutes of the movie are the only reason to watch that movie. After that first 10 minutes, turn it off. But that's some of the most riveting, scary moments in a movie right there, the first 10, 15 minutes of that movie. All right, so it's a very suspenseful commercial right there. That just little commercial, right, was a little suspenseful. It's a silly commercial, but a haunting thought of what would you do if you knew there was a killer around and suddenly you're aware that the killer was in the house with you. That's a pretty scary thought, because you might just understand, yeah, I know there are bad people in the world, Pastor Chris. I know that there are killers in the world. Well, what if the phone rang and the killer is in the room with you? Would that change a little bit about how you act? Would that maybe change a little bit of how you respond? Right from the start, I want us to not ask, is there a killer present? Because that's not the question at all. There definitely is a killer present. Instead, we need to ask, where is the killer? Can you look at somebody and say, where is the killer? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's in the billiard room with the candlestick. That's a Clue joke. If y'all don't know Clue, I will invite you over to my house and beat you badly at Clue, right? All right? I just have to be Professor Plum. That's my only rules. All right. Somewhere in your life, a killer lurks. Are y'all okay today? Just because I showed a Bud Ice commercial, y'all going to preach with me today? Are y'all okay? All right. Did I offend too many people in the room? All right. Y'all be with me. All right. Somewhere in your life, a killer lurks. And you can just ignore it. You can be unaware of it. Or we can do something about it. Remember, I asked you to think of a famous killer. Who came to mind? Think about that. You might have thought of a movie character. Some people think of a movie character that kills a lot of people. Some people think of a mass murderer. Like last week was like the 1 year memory point of the mass shooting that happened in Las Vegas. And a lot of people's thoughts were on that. Maybe you thought about that. Maybe you thought about an assassin, somebody that maybe killed a politician, a well-known politician or president maybe. Dallas has a place called the Grassy Knoll where one such individual killed a president of the United States. Maybe you thought of a serial killer. What'd you think of? I want to tell you real quick, not all killers are people. I'm going to give you the world's greatest killers according to science right now. Around 2 million are killed on the roads every year due to careless, often avoidable accidents. Did you think about that? Did you think about some distracted teenager with a cell phone? Well, that's 2 million people. How about another 2 million people have their life taken by diabetes? And a large percentage of those that have diabetes could have avoided this killer with just simply having better eating habits. 2 million are killed each year from lung cancers. The vast majority of them, they brought on the lung cancer with bad habits. Did you think about cigarettes? Anybody think about cigarettes when I said think of a famous killer? Marlboro, don't sue me, Marlboro, but I think that's a pretty famous killer right there. 3 million are killed from COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, every year, 3 million. Did you think of that? Nearly 6 million people are killed by some sort of stroke. 9 million die at the hands of a killer called heart disease every year. Raise your hand if when I asked you to think of a famous killer, you thought of any of the killers that I just said. Anybody think? There's like one, there's two, there's three. All right. Very few of us thought of those things, right? We think of personalities. Let me tell you, when we're talking about killers, when we're talking about things that take life from you, we're not just talking about people. We're not just talking about characters from a movie. Can I tell you real quick that we are the character in the scary movie that is unaware of the killer? We are that character in the movie. You get so nervous. It's like, oh my goodness, do they know that the killer is right there? You're that person. That's you. You are that character in the scary movie that is unaware of the killer. There are killers all around us, so we need to be aware. The question is not, is a killer present? The question is, where is the killer? Look at somebody again and say, where's the killer? Where is he? I invite you in this series to find the killer. Find the killer. We need to locate what is taking our life. In what quadrant is it hiding and lurking? And what is it taking from us? You need to find the killer. I listed some health ailments, right? Some of those things could take your life. Don't sit around. If you have bad eating habits, that can turn into diabetes. You got a killer. It's sitting in your fridge right now. You get home and you just let that killer have you. You've got to be aware of the killer. Somewhere in your life is something lurking and stealing, killing, and destroying. It wants to kill you. Not just you. It wants to kill the things that you have. It wants to kill your marriage. Come on. There is a reason about 50% of marriages end in divorce. There's an enemy out to kill our marriages. How about your children? The relationships you have in the home. Do you think there's an enemy that wants to kill those things? Absolutely. Your finances, your health, your spiritual man, your spirit, and your future. All of these things that there could be a killer lurking trying to steal, kill, and destroy those things. John 10:10, let's look at it one more time. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He doesn't do any other thing. He is a one-trick pony. That's the only thing he does. You can't say, well, he kills and steals and destroys, but he's also really good at dinner parties. No. Well, he's also really a good cook. He doesn't bring anything good into your life. He has only got one motive, and that is to steal and kill and destroy. Who is the one that Jesus says? He said a thief, right? I got a question for you. Who is the thief? Who is the thief? Get that answer in your head. What do you have? It says the thief. Now, Jesus is telling a parable here, and Jesus doesn't just tell parables off the top of his head. He cultivates a parable to tell us the truth, and he names the character. It's not just an enemy. It is a thief. Who is the thief? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I imagine a good portion of us, probably about 80% of us at least, thought of the devil. Right, just give me a little nod if you thought of the devil, right? You thought of the devil. Probably you've heard this sermon used, this scripture used in sermons to preach about the devil, right? Absolutely, I get that. Oh, right. So the devil fits the bill, right? He is a thief. He is a stealer. He is a killer. He is a destroyer. However, Jesus is not specifically talking about the devil in John chapter 10. He's not specifically talking about the devil. He never mentions the devil. He mentions all kinds of other characters. And he's also talking to a certain group of people. But none of this fits the bill of the devil. Let's look at context. John chapter 10, verse 1. This is why you read your Bible. Look right here. Verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees. Who's he talking to? The Pharisees. Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. So really quick. So based on this verse, I'm going to ask you again, who is the thief? Come on, somebody answer. Somebody, come on. Yeah, it's right there. I actually even underlined it for you. Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate is a thief. All right, this is real interesting. Anyone who does not enter by the gate is a thief. And they have come to do only one thing, to steal and kill and destroy. Are we all in agreement? All right, let's look ahead. Jesus tells us about a sheep pen. A sheep pen. Does Jesus have, what does he call his followers? Sheep. All right, so he's got a sheep pen. What do you keep in a sheep pen? Y'all are brilliant. You keep sheep in the sheep pen. So if a thief is coming into the sheep pen, what do you think they're trying to steal, kill, and destroy? The sheep. Y'all are brilliant. There is a right and wrong way to enter a room, to enter a house, and to enter a sheep pen. Do you agree? Much like there is a right and wrong way to enter your home, owners and guests of the owner go through the front door. They go through a door. Somebody pulls out keys and they unlock the door and they say, hey, come on inside. That's the correct way to enter a home. Killers rarely pull out a set of keys, walk up to the door, unlock it, and let themselves in. Do you agree? It's very rare that happens. They usually do what? They lurk in the darkness. They lurk in the shadows. They actually will drive around. Killers, stealers, destroyers will drive around. They will find a house that's got tall bushes next to windows. Why? So that they can crawl in to those bushes as they open your window, and they can hide even as they come into your house. See, they want to hide when they break and enter into your house. Does this make sense? That's what thieves do. It's very rare that thieves will go through your front door. Most of the times we were broken into as a child, there's a very scary feeling coming home, seeing your house ransacked. Very scary feeling indeed. They came in through back windows of our property. That's where they came in. Jesus tells us about a thief who comes into the sheep pen by some other way than the front door. By some other way than the gate. Do you see this in the verse? Beware of people who sneak around. Beware of people who are dishonest and do things under the cover of night. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, right. The killing thief is anyone who does not enter by the gate. Do you understand that? Say it. The killer is anyone who does not enter by the gate. Can I tell you, thieves are not honest? I mean, that should be a duh, right? But we've got thieves that hang around our life, and we are just blown away when they're dishonest to us, even though we've seen them be dishonest to others. We are just shocked when they say terrible things about us, even though we've been in conversations and joined in to us talking badly about others. And we act like, I am so surprised. No, a thief is not honest. A thief will show you who they are. Don't be surprised when the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, because thieves are not honest. They steal and kill and destroy. And if somebody is talking bad about somebody else, you got to wonder in your head, are they going to be talking bad about you next? Can I get an amen on that? Come on, this is some true stuff right here, all right? You gotta be aware. Be aware of people who are different when others are not looking. You ever know somebody like that? Right? It's really weird being a pastor because, like, you can hang out with people and then they find out you're a pastor and then they will change like a different person like overnight. It's like people at the gym, they just curse up a storm and everything around you, and they later find out, hey, what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. And like, oh, praise God, brother. Let's quote scripture together. It's like, what was that joke? You had some rhyming limerick that was very dirty. What was that again? All right, so people who have lots of secrets, beware. Beware people who have lots of secrets. How about this? Secret rendezvous. Beware those people that are walking around and when they see you, they look scared and they like you see them hide and stuff. You don't want that in your life. Beware of that. Secret text messages and phone calls. Beware of that stuff. That's some bad stuff right there. Okay? I'm not telling you to be weird and like check people's phones. I'm not telling you to, but you need to be aware of thieves that are secretive. How about this? Beware of just between you and me conversations. You would be surprised how somebody will tell you that they're having a between you and me conversation, but then they're going to take exactly what you say and just spread it everywhere. You beware of that stuff. Don't fall into that stuff. Don't do that stuff, okay? Is it all right for your pastor to tell you not to gossip? Yeah. Is that all right? Is it okay for you not to lie about people? Is it okay for you not to run down people with your mouth? Is it all right if I use that language with you today?
Yeah.
Well, good, because I'm going to, all right? Beware of people who have a desire to hide. Beware of those people. If you have one of these scenarios, I want to tell you, you may have found a killer. In our court system, there are different charges for killing. One of them is murder, and the other one is manslaughter. Now, there's several variations of that. But what is the difference between murder and manslaughter? Does anybody know? What's the difference between? It's intent. So a murderer kills somebody and meant to do it. A manslaughter case is where somebody kills somebody, but they didn't intend to kill the person. Am I right on that? Do y'all understand that? So intention is the difference between murder and manslaughter. Say yes if you agree. All right, the end result is the same though, isn't it? There's a dead person in a murder, and there's a dead person in manslaughter. All right, someone has been killed in each situation. Can I tell you, it really doesn't matter what people intend. If someone is dead, they're dead. Okay? So we make up a lot of self-justifications for other people. We say, yeah, they did that terrible thing, but they didn't mean to. Do we do that? Oh, I wish y'all were a little bit more with me today. Do people do that or not? Am I just making up stuff? Yeah, they absolutely do that. You know, like there are people that will be around abusive people over and over again. And somebody say, why don't you do something about that? One day that person's going to kill you. And that person will say something to this effect. Well, they don't mean to. They don't. It's not in their intention to kill people. Can I tell you the end result between murder and manslaughter is nothing. The end result is actually the same. That there is a dead body laying on the floor all the same. Right now in Dallas, there's a high-profile case where an off-duty police officer walked into someone else's apartment and shot them. It is the job of the court to decide if the officer intended to shoot the victim or if it was truly an accidental killing. And while that whole drama is going to go on in a court system, at the end of the day, someone has buried their son, and it stinks, and it's awful, and it's bizarre, and it hurts, and whatever the court decides doesn't change the loss of that life. The end result is the same. Someone lost their life. Some people in your life are committing manslaughter on you. They don't mean to, but the end result is the same. They steal from you, but they didn't mean to steal. Oh, no one's stealing from me. How about the person that their drama is constantly stealing your energy and your time? Come on. You're letting that person steal from you. They're committing manslaughter on you. If they aren't even understand, they are so centered on their own problems, they don't understand what they're putting you through with their drama. It's manslaughter. They don't mean to steal from you, but they're doing it the same. It's the same end result. Can somebody say amen? The man of God's preaching today. I don't know if y'all know that, but I'm preaching to you, okay? Y'all hear this? Their negative words actually kill your dreams, take away your courage. They didn't mean to kill them, but they killed them just the same. Some of you have been putting up with people in your life that have been telling you negative things over and over again, and it has killed you on the inside. It has killed what you think you're capable of. They didn't mean to, but the end result is just the same. They destroy, but they didn't mean to destroy. Well, here's an example. They can, without intention, destroy your marriage. Yeah, there are people that can actually come between you and your spouse. They didn't mean to. They didn't mean to break up your marriage, but they could just the same. They could break up other relationships that you have. Can I tell you, intentions matter in the court of law, and we'll let the court of law settle all that stuff, but it makes no result in the final result of your life. It makes no difference there. People who do not come through the gate end up stealing and killing and destroying. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Even if they don't intend to cause you harm, when they don't come through the gate, they end up causing harm. The thief only steals and kills and destroys. So I got to ask you this. How important is the gate in Jesus' parable? How important is the gate? It's critical. It's everything. It's actually what reveals to you who the killer is. Because you don't ever see the killer go through the gate. All right. I want to talk to you about the gate. You need a gate in your life. What is a gate? I'm going to say that it's a non-negotiable entrance point into your life, into your world, into your family, into your heart. You need a non-negotiable entrance point. This is the only way that you come in and out of my life. This is the only way. It's the door. It's the gate. You got to have a gate in your life. You don't allow access to anyone who refuses to go through the gate. What does that look like? Well, that means that you don't allow fence hoppers in your life. You got this gate right here, and it's set up that you want to interface with me, you want to have covenant with me, you want to have a life with me, you want to have friendship with me, you want to walk together in life. You come through this gate, and then there's these people that just want to hop the fence and say, hey friend, how you doing? None of that. You either come through the gate, or you don't hang around here. All right? Don't allow those who lurk in the shadows to have a voice in your life. That's a thief. Do not allow those who would commit a break and entering through some other means than the gate to hang around your property. Don't let them. No thieves. No liars. No killers. You need to put that on top of the gate of your life. Non-negotiable. No thieves. No liars. No killers. Say it with me. No thieves. No liars. No killers. You want to be in my life? Tell me the truth. You want to be in my life? Don't take life from me. Speak life into me. You want to be in my life? Then you don't steal from me. We give to each other. You never need to steal from me. You come through the gate, I will gladly give to you. And when I'm in need, you'll gladly give to me. That's how the gate works. But fence hoppers, it doesn't work that way. Shadow lurkers, it doesn't work it that way. Break and entering thieves, it doesn't work that way. You got to have a gate in your life, and it's got to be there for a reason, and you got to have a non-negotiable. I'm telling you right now, sweetheart that's going out on a date with a fella, or fella that's going on a date with a girl, you need to have a gate in your life, and that's the only way you're going to interface with this person is through that gate. That whole church should have gone crazy on that. I'll wait. I'll preach it tomorrow. Maybe you'll get into it then. I'm telling you, we've got a whole world that just doesn't follow any rules. You do what feels good. You do. We'll just, you know, we're married over here, but they don't have to know about it, that we have this life in the public eye, but we've also got this hidden area, and that we're not living in the gate. We live in the gate when it becomes visible to others, but we hop the fence at other times. Don't you dare do it. Don't you dare start a relationship that way. Don't you dare do that in the marketplace, in your business. Don't, definitely don't do that when it comes to your relationship with God. Don't you dare do it. Look at somebody. Don't do it. Don't do it. Look at him. Look at him. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Honest people are welcome this gate. Truth tellers are welcome this gate. Life givers are welcome in this gate. You have friends like that, that they're truth tellers? I tell you what, the world is in such need of truth telling friends. The world is in need of friends that say, what are you doing, sweetheart? You're ruining your life. What are you doing? You broke up with that person 6 months ago, and you're drinking yourself into a stupor. Don't do it. You're being an idiot. We need some truth tellers. What are you doing? You haven't been in church in forever. I haven't seen you in the altar. You need to get Jesus in the center of your... We need some truth tellers around here. All right? All right, all right. We need some life givers, some honest people. Those are the ones we need to allow through the gate. Are you allowing people in your life who refuse to enter through the gate? Then Jesus added a new level of understanding to this life-giving lesson. See, here's the thing about Jesus' parables. If you read them, pray about them, you'll understand them, and then they will blow you away. There's always another level to it that maybe you didn't consider, and the revelation will always blow you away. Here it is, verse 7, John 10. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Who? So we talked about who the thief is. The thief is the one who doesn't come through the gate, but the gate is also a person. Who is the gate? Jesus is the gate. It is important for you to have a gate in your life. We talked about that. We could talk about the gate being a moral list of do's and don'ts. That would really improve your life. Like, I've got these non-negotiable do's and don'ts in my life, and we could get some good result out of that. You could get some good things out of a list of do's and don'ts in your life and make that your gate. But can I tell you, ultimately, that's not enough. And you will fail with your do's and don'ts. And so if your do's and don'ts are your own gate, and you don't do the do that you're supposed to do, and you don't do the don'ts that you're, or something like that, guess what that means? That means you can't go through your own gate. I did the do that I wasn't supposed to do, so you can't go through the gate. And the don't that I didn't, and whatever, and you You lock yourself out of your own sheep pen if you live by do's and don'ts being the gates. Hello, that's where the Pharisees were, all over the place. Can somebody say amen? You'll never live up to your list of morals. You don't want that to be your gate. It's not enough, and you'll ultimately fail. You could make the gate some systematic tradition, like religion. Oh, there's our denomination right there. Isn't that good? Everybody that's such and such denomination, come on right inside. Or maybe, how about we do philosophy, some kind of philosophy? We could do political party if that floats your boat. Or how about this? Just science, anything like that. But ultimately, that is not enough, and that will fail. There have been many killers found in religion. Literally. There have been many killers found in philosophy. By the millions. Science? Oh, science does so much good in our life. No, science pokes holes in presidents' bullet wounds and ends up killing them. Yeah, Abraham Lincoln. No, you don't want that to be your gate. That won't work either. Killers slip right in. Killers fit right in when it comes to traditions and religions and philosophies and science. That has never kept a killer out. You could make your gate a person that you really trust, like your parents, right? Like a spouse or a really good friend. But ultimately, that's not enough, and that will fail. Ever hear of a killer being someone that they trusted? Ever hear about a killer being someone that they would have all least expected, like a spouse? Has a spouse ever killed someone? Has killed another spouse? Yes, all the time, right? Parents, friends are sometimes killers. Killers can slip right through those gates. You don't want them to make that your gate. Your gate shouldn't be a person like a spouse or a parent or a friend. You could make that gate what the latest trends and beliefs are in the culture. And let me tell you, that's where most of the world is right now. We got these gates, and we let the internet, we let the latest fads and fashions, we let word of mouth hysteria tell us what the gates are in our life. But we all know that that is not enough, ultimately, and that will absolutely fail because these gates are constantly changing. And these gates of culture are never about protecting people. They are about satisfying people. People who enter through the gate that is Jesus Christ are not killers. People who enter through the gate that is Jesus Christ, you can walk up right to them. They are life givers. They are truth speakers. They are honest people. They are not killers. Want a simple way to figure out who the killer is? Make Jesus your gate. Make Jesus your gate. What a simple way to keep killers out? Make Jesus your gate. Are you with me? So make Jesus the gate of your mouth. If Jesus is the gate of your mouth, you don't say things that Jesus wouldn't say. Make Jesus the gate of your eyes. If Jesus is that gate, you don't just look upon any old thing. Make Jesus the gate of your ears. Do not listen to things or conversations that Jesus would not listen to. Make Jesus the gate of your heart, the gate of your mind, the gate of your soul, and the gate of your spirit. He's the only one that you can truly protect. Nobody enters into the gate and is a killer. Make Jesus the gate of your life. Amen, right? My goodness, the other day I was told something by one of my dear friends and mentors, David Fuller, and I'll do a David Fuller voice. He said, "Well, Chris," he has that like gravelly wisdom voice that just says, "You got to listen." He says, "Well, Chris," I just was telling him about just some problems I've just had in life, and he says, "Chris, want to tell you, sometimes it's good for a pastor to be blind, deaf, and dumb. There are some things that you see that you just don't need to see. And then there are some things that you hear you just need to forget that you ever heard them. And then there are some things, pastor, you better never say. Sometimes it's good for a pastor to be deaf, blind, and dumb." Can I tell you real quick that there are some things that you're seeing, you need to just put them out of your mind. That's not your gate anyway. All right. There's some things you heard, you just need to forget. That's not your gate anyway. There are some things you go to say, you better shut that mouth because that's not your gate anyway. The words of Jesus are your gate. Obviously, there's a flood going around. Are we okay, everybody? All right, good. Excellent. If everyone on the internet, it's obviously raining outside like crazy. People who enter through the gate, that is Jesus Christ, they're not killers, but something else happens. The people that enter through the gate, that is Jesus, they are saved. They're saved. Look at this verse, verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Can you give me a little bit of volume? I want to be louder than the rain. Thank you very much. Jesus is not a killer. Is Jesus a killer? No, not at all. Jesus is a life giver. Look at somebody, say, Jesus is a life giver. I want to tell you about the life giver. Jesus said this in verse 10. This is the first half we talked about. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Here's the rest of the verse. I have come. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This gate, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not just a gate of protection from killers, but this gate is a source of life. We're all gone? We're back. Not today, Satan. Let me say that again. Alarm. Go check the alarm. All right. Everybody okay? All right. Preach. The gate, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not just a gate of protection from the killer. The gate is a source of life. That whoever enters has a life to the full. They're not just saved. They are given a full life, an abundant life. This gate keeps those that would take life out of us, keeps them away. But also this gate gives life to all who enter. All who enter at the gate of Jesus. We're going to call Shelton up here. Jesus is the gate. He said it. But Jesus says he is something else as well. See, sometimes Jesus' parables, he plays multiple roles in these parables. Look at this. John 10 and 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Where are the sheep? They're in the sheep pen. He's the gate to the sheep pen, but he's also the good shepherd. He goes in to the sheep. He leads the sheep out for them to find pasture. He is the good shepherd. He is the guy who actually built the sheep pen. He is the guy who raised these sheep. He is the guy who feeds these sheep. He is the guy who fights the enemy to keep these sheep safe. He is the one who cares for these sheep. Who but the good shepherd cares about the pen and the sheep in it? Nobody like the good shepherd. How much does he care about it? He cares about it enough to lay down his life for his sheep. Can I tell you, no one cares for you like Jesus. Maybe you're going through a time you don't feel like anybody cares. You need to just let that stuff go. You're looking at the wrong gate. Can I tell you right now that nobody cares for you like Jesus Christ. Austin, nobody loves you like Jesus loves you, Austin. It's absolutely true. This is why he should be your gate. He is willing to lay down his life to keep you safe from the killer. That is what he did for us on the cross, isn't it?
Yes.
You see, that cross ends up being a gate for us. It ends up being an opening for us, for us to enter in. He is not the gate because he wants to put limits on your life. Somebody hear me right now. Some young people especially get this idea that Christ, Christianity, and the Bible are just limiting things. You just want to control my life and limit my life. That is not this gate, Jesus Christ. He's not the gate because he wants to put limits on your life. He is the gate, and the only person he limits is the killer.
That's right.
And he is the gate to give you a full life beyond all limits. Everyone coming into your life any other way than through the gate will only end up stealing and killing and destroying. Who or what have you been allowing to jump the fence? I was praying this week. These came to my mind. Lust and pornography are killers. You think when no one is looking that it's okay for you to do these things. Those things are fence hoppers. They will kill your relationship with God. They will kill your intimacy with your spouse. They will bring condemnation on to you. The worst thing is not getting caught in lust and pornography. The worst thing is doing those things. I say that and I believe it with all my heart. Greed and pride are killers. Some of you, because of greed and pride, won't do certain things. And you will do certain things instead. Like, pride will cause you not to worship outwardly because, you know, what is someone else going to think? There are many people that felt a stirring in their heart to give their lives to Jesus, but pride kept them from that altar where they received Jesus. Pride will keep you from that gate. Can I tell you it's a killer? Can I tell you greed will kill you? Oh, greed is this awful, awful thing that will cause a father to work long hours at work, killing themselves. And the whole time he's saying, I'm doing it for my kids. But he's not really doing it for his kids. He's doing it because of greed. Can I tell you, hatred and forgiveness? Those are killers. None of these things can come through the gate of Jesus. Do you agree? Hate and killers, they're fence hoppers. They lurk around on the side. They lurk in areas of your mind, and they whisper things like this. Do you remember what that person said to you? How dare they? And they that hatred will start sparking those things to you. You know what it's doing? It's killing you. It's stealing from you. It's destroying you. You've had hateful thoughts and unforgiving attitudes come into your heart, and you could be having a great day, and suddenly you could be like at a party with people, and I've seen people, they have a thought go through their mind, and you just suddenly see they are gone. They're no longer there having the good time. They have gone to something in the past where hate happened and unforgiveness still reigns. Don't you dare let that happen. It's killing you. Don't let that happen. You need to walk through the gate of Jesus. And when you go through the gate of Jesus, you have to pull those things out because they can't go through the gate anymore. You got to pull those things out and leave them behind as you go through the gate of Jesus. I want to tell you, there is a huge gate at the front of this altar today, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come down. I want you, when you come through this gate, I want you to imagine this gate. I want you to imagine that the killer can't follow you through the gate. I want you to imagine that the lust and the pornography and the shame, it can't follow you through the gate. The hatred and the greed and the pride and the things that are stealing and killing and destroying your life, they cannot go through. They cannot go through the gate. We'll be coming in just a moment, but I got one more idea I just have to give you. Maybe you're the manslaughter. Maybe you're the unintentional killer. I want you to think about that for a second. Maybe you don't intend to be killing your marriage, but you are. Maybe you don't mean to be harming your children with your temper, but you are. Maybe you don't mean to be stealing from others, but you are. Destroying the future of others. And then, of course, you could be doing that to yourself too. Maybe you're the unintentional killer. The answer for you today is for you to come through the gate. Because the wonderful power of repentance is that a killer can walk up to the gate. And through the blood of Jesus, they can walk through the gate and be a sheep. And be forgiven. And be a brand new person. Come today. enter in through the gate that is Jesus Christ. Come now. No need to wait. Make a decision to come and cut off access to those things and people that are jumping the fence. Come to this altar and talk to the Lord today. If you want special prayer in this place, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. We're going to pray the ministry of Jesus Christ for you. And we want you to receive that. Come in the first 2 feet. Don't let pride keep you from here. Don't let anything in your past keep you from that. Don't let anything keep you from coming and embracing and walking through the gate of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, everybody listening, watching online, come on, talk to the Lord. The gate is present with you. No matter what you've done in your life, you are not far from Him. He is present with you. He is right there, right now. Father, in Jesus' name, touch all my friends listening, watching online. God, Lord, touch their heart, God. Lord, let them realize that there's a killer after them. Lord, let them seek the life giver right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for every person in this house that they would reach out to you, that they'd call on you, that they would find you right here in this moment. Jesus, you're my gate. You're my life giver. Jesus, I'm your sheep. I belong to you. I belong to you. I want to be where I'm supposed to be. Lord, keep me from wandering, God. Keep me to be right in your presence, God. Be my good shepherd. Thank you for giving your life for me in the name of Jesus. They're going to sing. I want you to reach out to God. I want you to pray to God in this house. Let's let Him have His way in this place. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.